Gibt es Debian oder Recognize Tief. So, before I start the satsang and the meditation, I would like to thank from my heart Sanji and Marcus for the fantastic, wonderful, awesome, no words retreat of organizing it at their place, and more importantly, in their hearts. As always, they have been extremely supportive of me, my work, my and in their own sadhana. They have been fantastic in every way. I have sometimes I forget to thank them, but they understand from my heart that I always am thanking them, not just here but also when I am back in Hyderabad, because their support means so much to all of us. We have seen growing because of the love that they have nurtured and brought in their life. So my contribution is almost negligible in the way that it has grown, and it is the love that I have received from many people. And they started off with me around 4 or 3 years back, 3 or 4 years back, I guess. And I mean, every year it gets better than the previous and the prior, it just gets better and better, right? So thank you both. I love you both very much. And everybody of them felt that in their hearts. They always told me behind, I can say that now, that how much support they felt with your support and with your blessings for them, for everybody. Yes, thank you. So we start today's satsang. And before I start and talk about what I was going to talk about, we will do a little meditation just to quiet ourselves down, right? So let's sit. And I have a very simple pointer, very simple, that you have to remember. This talk is about inquiry and inquiry-based meditations, inquiry-based, self-inquiry-based pointers. And this meditation is also about in self-inquiry and how to actually practice inquiry in the right way. So first thing is, remember two important points, pointers actually, two things. One is breathe. Every time you feel confused, breathe. Breathe. Just normal breathe. And the second step is ease. Just that. Breathe. Ease. Breathe. Ease. Breathe. Ease. Now you can, and when you feel ease, you will feel the exhaling breath happening. So I'm not asking you to exhale, because many oftentimes we try to exhale like it is strategy of the mind to exhale deeply. Let's not get into the strategies or the preconditions that are imposed on us or any conventional methods. Let's just understand what it is to breathe, means to feel the breathing, and then just to ease into it. Ease would require you to exhale probably, and exhale rightly. That's the pointer. Ease. Easing into yourself. So just a little inhaling breath and just exhale. Ease. When you feel the easing taking place, breath will move either out of your mouth or your nose, wherever. So let's do this for 3 minutes of our time, and then I'll lead you to the next meditation. Breathe. Ease. And notice how the feeling of ease moves into your entire body. Just this energy of the word ease, easing into yourself, and the self moves into the entire body, your feet, your calves, your thighs, your stomach muscles, your shoulders, all of them dropping into the ease of the self. You don't need to do any steps to release the tension in the body, because that ease itself will take care of any obstructions, knots, tension within the body, within your mind. So every time you feel you're not calm enough or situations in your life arise, just breathe and ease. Very simple pointer. And feel how the ease moves into your body, and you become extremely relaxed. Mind you, it is not a mental strategy or any form of concentration or any technique. You're just easing into yourself. That's it. Breathe. Ease. Now we bring our attention, gentle attention, to the area around the chest, the area of the heart. Just our gaze, inner gaze, falling into the area of our chest, of our heart, in a non-seeking manner, not to seek anything, but just into easing into your heart. Easing into the area of your chest, bringing the same ease consciousness that we had, which was moving into your entire body. Now we are simply bringing it to the area of our heart and easing into that feeling, that arising of ananda and love to arise and move upwards towards the crown or towards the top of the head. Again, it's not a technique. You're simply easing into the feeling of the self in the area of your chest and allowing the ananda, prema, joy, bliss to move upwards from there into the head. It is not a concentration, it is not a focus, it is just this recognition, allowance of the ease in the area of the chest in a gentle, non-seeking manner, and then you will feel that there is this ananda automatically moving upwards towards the area of the head. So you breathe, then you simply ease into the area of the chest where the feeling love arises, and gently hold the feeling and the vibration of the feeling love, ananda, bliss, and in a non-seeking manner just be there, and you will see slowly ananda and love, joy, moving upwards towards the area of the head, spreading all over the body, or moving back into the heart. Moves in a circular manner from the heart to the head, from the head back into the heart. Breathe ease. Love is not to be sought. Love is not to be sought. Love is ever present. It cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed. That is inquiry itself. That is self-inquiry. Being in the love that you are, as your own self. And feeling it completely, fully. And that love will automatically travel where it has to. It will automatically lead your consciousness to where it has to. You don't have to direct it. You do not have to strategize it. You do not have to enforce anything. It's just this acknowledgement and the recognition that it's here and never lost. And it's not to be found also, because you find something that you lose. in some sense, it may be forgotten. But it does not take much to remember. It just requires you to simply feel your heart in the area of the gaze at the area of the heart, and just be there. And in that area of the chest, in that ananda, in that love, you will see all your stories unfolding at the foreground, all appearing and dissolving. The stories that you have carried in your heart are not the ones that are important. The story of your own love that precedes all stories, that originates at the root of yourself, which is at the root, in the very beginning of everything, prior to everything, is the most important meaning of your existence. All other stories are just mental blocks, theories, concepts that you have allowed yourself to be entertained. So all your thoughts, emotions, feelings will tend to arise and fall in that area of the chest, area of the heart, area of love. Love will precede all before, it will be before everything. Like waves, every story will keep arising and falling. These stories will keep changing according to the times. But then who are you? You're the one at the background of all these appearances and disappearances. All this arising and falling are taking place after you are there. And you are prior, standing alone, feeling and watching it just unfold. So the simplest way to practice inquiry meditation is to remind yourself, remember yourself while you're facing any problems or issues, or even when you're not. You just breathe and ease into the area of the chest and allow everything else to take place at the foreground of that. Knowing yourself through inquiry is not a technique. It's not a practice also. It's how you are. So it has to be done and remembered moment by moment, every time that you feel that you have been swept away by certain thoughts or feelings and have drifted away from yourself. You just gently bring that to the area of the chest and stay there. And feel the ananda and joy and love that is there in the area of the heart. Slowly it will move to the heart, to the head. The energy slowly will start moving upwards And you will have experiences there around it. When you have experiences in the area of the head, then you will know that energy, life force is traveling. And then from there, it will drop again back into the heart area. So it will have the circular aspect of energy, where the energy is moving into higher dimensions of your existence. This is inquiry through love. Many of us are sometimes not at ease with ourselves. And those who are not at ease with our own existence, with our own bodies, with our own mind, will never get real inquiry. You have to be completely comfortable, not just with this, with the self or the love, but also with your temple that holds such love. That means your own body, your own mind. Nothing needs to be rejected. Everything is perfectly allowed in inquiry. So to really be at ease with yourself, there should be total allowance of everything. And with such allowance, the attention moves slowly back into this ananda, and joy begins to envelop your entire existence. Always be at ease with yourself. If you are at ease with the totality of yourself, I can assure you, you will be at ease with everything that happens or is happening around you. Your ease with yourself, and I'm again pointing out to this pointer, ease, the ease energy, not the tension-filled effort energy, the ease energy. That's the most primary form of sadhana. It's not an enforced form of moving into strategies of the mind and conditionings. Those will put tension in yourself with the idea that it is going to bring you to ease. All it takes for you to go back to the origin of the ease is just to simply fall into the ease of yourself in a non-seeking manner, seeking nothing out of this, and just being in the area of your area of the chest, and then allow the ananda to automatically move to the top of the head. And this is the one part of inquiry. As the ananda begins to move right into your head and then begins to move back to the heart, you will have recognized the power of transmission of Guru. Guru means light, dispeller of ignorance. And that you will feel through either the lineage that you are in, or universally you will be able to feel the grace pouring in back in from the Sahasrara that is at the top of the brain, lighting your existence, and then moving again into the heart. Your body will then be an instrument to carry on the instructions of the higher other, as I call it, the higher other. So one is a non-dual state where your energy, your eye thought dissolves back into the heart, but then that initiates after that has happened. It initiates the process of transmission, where the body itself awakens to transmission of the guru, of the master, of the avataric masters that are always guarding, helping, surrounding us. We can call it by different names, but they are all the one same. Often those who are have a history with the lineage, they feel it much more strongly than others. But it's always happening. It's always there. So we come back. We come back to original. Open your eyes slowly. And have our hands. Place them in your face. Feel the vibration. Slowly move back. So inquiry, self-inquiry is two things: allowing what things are appearing around you to be just as they are. And second thing is to move into the self, into the ease of the self, in a non-seeking manner, right? That's two things, important things. And one of the most important, like I said, is dilemma that people have, or misunderstanding that is there, is that, oh, I need to exclusively focus on the self. Means I need to avoid interacting, engaging, or try to stop the interactions or engagements with the objects around me. And I made it very clear this retreat also that it is not so. It's not about that the self, that you have to focus exclusively on the self. Self-inquiry is not exclusively focusing on the self, but it's about inclusiveness of the self in everything. We forget to include the self in our life because we get engaged. When we get engaged with the objects like relationships, finances, health, and everything, we forget to remain at ease with it. We forget to be at ease with it. The moment we forget to be at ease, then we strive for things to fix. And that creates a conflict. Self is not in conflict with the non-self. That's an important thing to understand. The non-self is a story that is perpetually taking place around us, either in some form or the other, in various ways. But the self is not in conflict with it. It just means inquiry. It just means you are including the self with the non-self. That's all. So it's not about just abiding exclusively in the self and completely ignoring, avoiding, suppressing what's happening in your life. No, it's all about easing into it and allowance of whatever is taking place in the foreground as a story, your emotions, your feelings. Let them all be where it is. But you are also including the feeling and awareness of the self at the background, and in a sense resting into it, easing into that feeling while the story takes place around it as it's supposed to be, because all of that story is karmic. And we must not try to get too involved with changing the storyline or trying to change anything. At best, we observe what is happening, we observe the patterns that are there, but we don't try to change any of that. We must not. The more we try to engage and try to do anything about it, try to fix it, the more it gets worse. And therefore, there should be just this complete acknowledgement that whatever is taking place in my life is good for me, no matter how it appears on the foreground. And my only choice is to go back and stay in that self of background self, where everything else seems to be imposed upon, where all the things are superimposed upon. Like the screen, I gave the example of the screen, which is not tainted by the blood that takes place when the movie is going on. When the movie is happening, there is no, there may appear to be blood and everywhere, or tears and blood and dirt and everything appearing on the screen. But when the movie is over, the screen is never tainted. It's just always pure and beautiful. That's what you are, pure. Don't allow your mind to qualify you on the basis of any evolution. There is no evolution steps in self. Self is self. Evolution is of the mind. Remember one thing. So do not categorize yourself, or don't allow anybody else to categorize yourself. No amount of sadhana, no amount of practice means will say that you become more purer than that. You don't. Self is always pure. There is no text that says self needs to be pure. You show me one text that says self needs to be pure. Self is always pure. And so the lesser you identify with the terms and concepts of impurities and things that you need to do to purify yourself, the more you will get involved into all that. Rather just watch, observe, and fall back and sink into that ease of the self. Noticing how the self always is very pure and easy with everything that's going. Notice how the self itself is very easy with things around it. And how it is your mind that creates all this uneasiness and tension. When you notice that it's a mind that is creating all this, you will automatically choose to be in resting state rather than moving with the mind and trying to resolve something. So this is very simple. It's a very simple thing to do. Moment by moment recognition of yourself. Now I come to my favorite topic, vasanas, because I know how do we view this in terms of vasana? Because I have studied, you know, vasana so much, and I've always been talking about it. Now here he is saying everything is pure, everything, nothing needs to be done. You just remain the self, ease of the self. So is there a contradiction? I also gave the RRPGM, which is conscious effort made to weed out the vasanas that are there. So how does it fit into all of this? So first of all, let me again, you know, define vasana from point of view of Vedanta. Let me explain this a bit more. So in simple terms, in my dictionary, if you ask me before I talk about Vedanta, vasana just means drama. Drama. When there is drama around anything, know that there is vasana. That's a simple thing. Even in the text, it's written in Vedanta that it's not about you acting on certain thing or not. Whether you, what you act, how the body acts on it, any act, whatever the body is acting on, Vedanta is very clear, it's not in conflict with that. He defines vasana as being that in which we brood over things. We keep brooding over it. When the mind is brooding over something over and over again, which means there is drama. You see, when we enforce ourselves to a particular idea or aspect of life, and there is immense attention to a particular aspects of our life, there will be drama into it. And you see it again and again happening. That is called vasana. It's not about, oh, I need to bring all of this energy inside and keep it contracted inside and moving into this thing. That's called as, you know, that will give me freedom. That's also vasana. Everything that you always are preoccupied with, always making it like an obsession. Your obsessions are your vasana. The real thing about Vedanta is, if you see the analogy that they present, right at the very beginning, they talk about two birds in a tree. And one bird is eating a fruit. The other bird is watching it. That is it. The other bird does not interfere with the bird who's eating it. So your body mind is that bird that is actually acting on something. Bodily it is doing. It's picking on a fruit. It's eating something. But that other bird, which is watching it, does not interfere with the work of this. So your awareness precedes this body mind, what it does. All you have to do to eliminate this vasana or any vasana is to observe. That's all. It's not to interfere with the work that is there. Whatever you are doing, whatever you feel or being judgmental about or opinionated about, those are the point of views of the ego. The point of view of Vedanta is very clear. Observe. Vedanta's point of view is to remain in truth with the ease of yourself as you observe it. Now, what happens when you are continuously being with the ease of yourself? Then what happens? Is that what fruit that has been eaten without interfering with that bird that eats, that is your body mind that is partaking that fruit, without interfering with that, you will see that it automatically removes obsessions around it, and it suddenly you will feel that it has dissolved on its own just by sheer observing. The ease of the background self begins to trickle down into the foreground. It has that effect, your awareness. Like they say that the awareness of, you know, to remove the darkness, you don't have to deal with the darkness. You just need to light up a flame. And that will drive away all the darkness. Even a small flame will drive away the largeness of the darkness in the room. It won't. It won't be, the darkness won't be able to stay there for long. It's just holding and beholding the flame that is always moving, that is always ignited in your heart. And to be at ease with this, as you become more at ease with yourself, that ease will move and envelop the foreground stories and remove and drop all these obsessions and the focused attentions and concentrations that we have developed over a period of time. It is this feeling that the preoccupations that are a problem, those are the vasanas. Any ideas you may have about yourself, and when you move into those ideas and you try to give acknowledgement of those ideas, those are all mental ideas that are there, though can become obsessions when you pay too much attention to them, and they are the cause of your misery, because they are all will move you, take you, move, they will move you into the story of what you have created by your attentions, extreme attentions being given to the foreground non-reality of yourself. And so Vedanta says, or inquiry says, is just remember to connect and to identify with the ease of yourself rather than whatever tensions are taking place in the foreground. You do nothing with that. Everything is a script. You are scripted. Your body mind is a story that is scripted from one birth to another birth. And if you start moving and doing something about the script to try to change it, and by putting extreme effort to do it, you will worsen the situation. Rather, you be at the ease of the self and let the story happen, what is taking place. You just observe and then just sink back into the of the self. And then as you start to sink into that, you will see that you're able to observe the patterns, and then there will be an auto correction that will take place automatically without effort. The non-action will take place because you will be able to see what patterns are really harmful or not harmful for you. Now, so where does RRPGM comes into this whole situation? Let me clarify it. The RRPGM comes in the early stages of your inquiry because we are so used to certain behaviors and patterns that sometimes we are unconscious of those patterns working in our life. We do not give enough space for us to see those patterns. So it is a form of enforced discipline. It's a form of strategy that I have employed in RRPGM in the early stages of your sadhana, so that when you stop, when you restrain, there is a space between you and your pattern. So for you to see those patterns, RRPGM becomes important. You may miss it if you are not in the self yet, not knowing the ease of the self yet. But once you bring once you bring continuous inquiry into your life, the practice of inquiry happens, then slowly you will even drop the need to restrain anything. You will simply be able to watch everything from the background self without really moving into it. So RRPGM does have a place, but it's in the early to mediocre state of your spiritual sadhana. And later on, even that is dropped, where you don't have to really restrain anything, relax or restrain, relax, process, gift, and meet the trigger. You will meet the trigger right at the very beginning of your sadhana. The last step becomes the first step. Meeting the trigger while you are still there. But this time you will be very, not guarded, not like contracted, sir. You'll be like a king. You'll be like, I'll move into the, you know, like a lion. Not like always thinking I'm scared and fearful. Oh, I should do this. I should protect myself. And this is a boundary I must have. This is what, these are all concepts that we have. Boundaries were created, and RRPGM is a form of boundary because we are not feeling safe. That's why we create boundaries around us. But once you know that self is all that there is no other surety we need. What is there to feel protective about? Who protects what? From you everything arises, from you the story is coming, into you the story moves. All the tendencies are nothing but dream. They're unnecessary things that we have always preoccupied ourselves with. Once we allow and know this knowingness to be that you are the background self, you allow the foreground to work as it has to work without any interference, and you begin to realize how deep you are, because you're no more obsessed with working and resolving things on the foreground. You're not even self-obsessed. You're just being as you are. So you understand. So that when you say self-obsession, you make it as a practice. You are doing it all the time. You're tensed about it. You're trying to tense, hold and breathe, tense and try to get into the self by holding, contracting yourself. No, it's not. It's at ease. You just drop and be at ease. Self-contraction means I am exclusively holding on to the self. Ease means I am allowing everything to unfold as they are, but I am noticing how my self is too at the same time, and I'm easing into it while I allow everything. So there is no scope of tension to be there. You know, in Vedanta, there are basically six kind of vasanas that are mentioned. Let me give you a very small talk, summary of those six kind of vasanas. Actually, in the book called Advaita Bodhidipika, there's the Ramana Maharishi's book that he really advocates people to read. It's called Advaita Bodhidipika, Light of the Lamp, something like that. And in that, he has mentioned six kind of vasanas that are there. The first particular vasana is called Shastra Vasana. Shastra means scriptures. People who are obsessed with mentally talking about scriptures all the time, quoting scriptures all the time. This is that is this is that, like that, you know. They are obsessed. This is a kind of vasana. I remember one story of Paramahansa Yogananda when he had done the self-realization church. And that time there was a very popular story. I don't know, you may have heard it also, that there was a priest. He had a lot of problem with Yogananda's way of dealing with all his students. And he said, you are, you know, Mr. Yogananda, you are doing great disservice to Jesus by making people, you know, by trying to fool people into your self-realization fellowship, which is not the church of the Jesus. The real Jesus is here, you know, and for that, you and the people who are there are all going to go to hell for this. And Yogananda looked very lovingly in his eyes and said, yeah, I may go to hell, but you are already in hell. You know, so I may go into hell, but you are already in hell. So it's like, this is what our scriptures, you know, our religious pedigrees and things that we get obsessed about. This is mine. I am, you know, you're putting all qualifications. You're qualifying your existence on the basis of identifications that you give on the basis of certain religion. So, or any scripture knowledges. So that's the one part of it. That's the first vasana called a Shastra Vasana. Then the second vasana is Loka Vasana. Loka Vasana means origin of your country, nationality, and you have a vasana around that. I am from this country, I am from that country. For example, if I'm an Indian, I can boast and say, we Indians are born with spirituality right from first, which is not true. Many of the Indians don't know anything about real spirituality. Most Westerners know on an average better than many Indians off late, to be honest, because they're more trained better. So that's like an example I'm saying, is that this is another misconception that people have, that, oh, I belong to this particular, I'm from India. So, you know, we have been brought up with this whole idea about what itself and what meditation means, and they can give lectures on it and all that, but themselves may not practice any of that. They may not really do anything of that, but they know it according to their environment because they're around it. You know, example, I'm giving you an example. Third thing is, once after that is Deha Vasana, which is the body, is getting too much identified with the working of the body. I am always working in improving my body. How I look, how I appear, how does it feel, how's my health? This, all the time preoccupation. This is another vasana, very strong vasana. It's called Deha Vasana. The fourth particular vasana is Bhog Vasana. Bhog Vasana means I am always looking for pleasure. All kind of pleasure. Orgasms. Pleasures all the time. My definition of happiness means not mine, generally. People's definition of happiness is defined by the amount of pleasures that they get. If they don't get the pleasure, then they suddenly feel very dull and depressed. I'm not getting that. Something is not right. So you're not at ease with yourself, right? Bhog Vasana does not mean that there is that you must run away or escape or avoid bhoga. The definition of Bhog Vasana also is that those people who are against bhoga are also obsessed with a certain kind because they're not getting it. So that's also a kind of vasana, is that when you're preoccupied with destroying bhog in your life by saying, I do not want to take bhog. Remember the example of the bird eating the fruit and the other one just watching it. is that it does not tell you that don't eat the fruit, don't have hope, don't have enjoyment. And the people who are brooding over it or preoccupied with all that kind of talks about, oh, I should not take bhog, or I should avoid these things because these are going to give me pain in my life tomorrow. That is also escaping, avoiding, which is also called as bhogvasana. Bhogvasana just does not mean enjoyment. It also means that thoughts or those feelings which are against the enjoyment of bhog. So understand this. So these are also two other things. Then we come to the last, to the fifth one, which is called Vishaya Vasana. Vishaya Vasana means that object of bhog or pain. When we start to get obsessed with the object who gives us a pleasure, with the object that gives us a pain, when we start to overthink over it, overanalyze it, preoccupied with that, that also is a vasana. So Vishaya Vasana, a particular object, a particular person, someone obsessed with a particular person, that's a vasana. See? So that is because that person gives them a particular bhoga or a certain meaning in their life, you know, and then they get obsessed with everything about the person and how to keep him or how to keep her, or fear of losing the person. Giving you an example, right? It can be about wealth. It can be about any other thing. Any other Vishaya means object. And the last is Vipreet Vasana. Vipreet Vasana means reversal. And this is where self-inquiry comes more important than anything. Vipreet Vasana means taking myself to be the body, mind. Means I have wrongly identified with the actions of my body, thinking it is me. And then trying to resolve thing in that and trying to say, I am the body. This is how I should be doing. This is not acts I should not be doing. The do's and the don'ts of all spiritual training comes in this vasana. The do's and the don'ts were given so that you develop enough spiritual maturity, but they need to be dropped. Otherwise, you will keep moving in the loop of do's and don'ts. This is right. This is wrong. This is how it should be. This is how it should not be. They should all have to be dropped. If you don't drop that, you will remain in working with it and all the time thinking about it, brooding about it, and it will not give you happiness and peace because you'll qualify every experience on the basis of these do's and don'ts. So Vipreet Vasana says, forget about these do's and don'ts and come back into that observer state and move into the feeling of, and let the body mind do whatever it wants it to do. It just allow it to do exactly whatever it feels like doing. So what it says is replace the feeling of I am this body mind doing this act with the truth that I am Brahman. Untainted, unqualified, untouched by any of these vasanas. This is called Vipritta Vasana. So when I am talking about now to all of you, of course in between I will talk about RRPGM also because it is a part of the, for example, it is a part of Deha Vasana. That method is a part of it. We need to give the space. But once we are involving inquiry in our life, we must drop all these efforts and allow the transmission to do most of the work. You see, allow the transmission even to what vasanas are there, what vasanas are not there. Once you are able to do the patterns, understanding the patterns by keeping the space and being in the self, you will see that the patterns also dissolve. But the more you work with your ego, keep putting effort into it, the more it becomes difficult to dissolve the vasana. And so least of attention should be paid to that, and more attention should be paid to being in this foreground cells of ease of the self and being there. Yes. So it's already 11 o'clock, but I will take one question. If anybody has any question, if not, then we will. Does anybody has any questions? I can take it next time also. The next satsang is, which I would actually prefer because you should sit with this what I have spoken today and sit with it for some time and come up with some intelligent questions for me in my next satsang. The next satsang is not on the 6th, by the way, because I will be reaching on the 4th and I don't think I will be up to taking the satsang that day. So it will be on the 13th. So Devika, please note that the next satsang will be on the 13th and then on 27th. So we have April, we have two satsangs to be done. Instead of 6th and 20th, we will be doing 13th and 27th. So please note it down and you send the information right away. But anyway, I will still love to take if there's any kind of questions that are there. Is there any question that anybody wants to talk about or share or ask? Or is there any? I don't see a hand. I give 5 more seconds. 1. Dalit is not there today. Otherwise, he would have definitely asked something. Nothing? Maybe for the next. So keep your questions ready for the next one and we will talk about it more. Yes? All right. Okay then. So I will see all of you. May the blessings of the gurus and the masters ever be with you. And may you be at ease with yourself. Right? So remember, allowance and ease. Allowance is simple. Allowance is remind yourself. And if your partner does not do it, then to all those lovers and couples together, tell each other, allowance is allowance. But you also be at ease first. Don't be agitated about it. Hey, you're not at ease. Yes, that's like Tony is saying, come on, like boxing it. Yeah, doing it. No, you have to be at ease with me, Guruji. That's right. Okay. All right then. Take care. Love you all very much. I'll see you all soon. Pranam.